points, because I think you noticed that we reached a certain kind of level in all this. I was talking about the steps you can make to go closer and closer and turn into an active part in all this, instead of the observing position you find in film or even in TV reception. And there are a lot of questions open now, I think, if you see at all these works, because as you could know, could see, many works are actually related to, they have a very framework effect, like they give a certain activity to the user, and he can change a certain surrounding, but it's very tricky if it comes to the content or the concept of such a work, what there actually is for you to do or to think. And it's really, a lot of works are, the question is, are they like active and reactive? Is it just down to the metaphor that you can or you could enter a surrounding and play with that? And these are a lot of questions which are open, and they are very much based to this talk I'd like to give on Thursday, or work out with you in the meantime while looking at these works a bit more closer. And they are linked to the user a lot, to the former observer, which is now called a user, and the different functions he has, and the different aesthetical models coming up with this, because this is something which hasn't been done very much yet, as I think. And that's also why I said that interactivity is really not what we think it is, like this one term which covers a lot of developments and so on, and therefore they are classified. It's really down to different categories and down to different effects, and the question what really makes sense and what is interactivity and what is actually a nice video installation, and you could also leave the touching element in this. And it is, I think that's a very important discussion who leads to more, who leads to the future really in new media, and what will stay and what will carry on and get more complex, really, to involve the participant. And I make a break here as well, because I think we reached a certain level with these questions which form a very good bridge to the telematic works we talk about tomorrow, where we talk more about a virtual stage effect. But you will see this when Paul will present his installations, that questions which are open now might be solved tomorrow in the sense of interactive involvement in media surroundings. And I think we, if you want to have a discussion now about what you've seen, it's also possible to answer questions. Or maybe you can also integrate your work in this, whether it's similar what you're doing, or where you see perspectives in all this.
Bueno, una pregunta que quería hacerte.
A minute, I need a translation. I think this is not for me, for everybody, the discussion.
Yeah, yes. All right. Bueno, la pregunta es la siguiente. Has hablado anteriormente que te preocupaba el contenido narrativo de estas obras que podríamos llamar interactivas. Y has hablado de narrativa circular. Me gustaría que me la diferenciaras, si crees que tiene cierta diferencia de la narrativa no lineal. Es una pregunta, después otra. No sé si me quieres responder primero o después.
I can answer this question now. Yeah. I just have a question, whether I understood it properly. It's about the difference between non-linear and linear narrative. I think that's about the same. Sorry, I have to take the Spanish down. A non-linear narrative, I think, is basically this way of designing yourself the storyboard with the information you get by the author of such a work. Let's say a CD-ROM or Jill Scott's work as an installation, which goes very much into narrative parts and directions, so that a story really unfolds. I think a non-linear thing just means basically that you design it on your own. You can split it up into different strings and lines, and get your own montage system with it, by the way it's pre-prepared, and by the choice you can make in this. So if you think of the Laurie Anderson example, it's like you come to this hotel, and there you have to discover different rooms by objects, or by going to the room, or by this hall of time. So you have different ways of accessing these rooms. But then you stay in this room, you discover this room. It has, it sort of unfolds a network inside this little room. But then you go back to the hall and you start again. This is this metaphor of a house with different directions and so on, or of a landscape. And what I call a circular thing, it's just something I also try to integrate in my lectures for the students. It's always like finding another way of like going from A to B and coming back to A to start again, which I think is still very in the frontal position of marching into one direction. If you think of it aesthetically, you're always marching through something. And I think it's what's interesting is how you can spread your topic around all this, that you have a kind of a central point and you spread out around, and maybe you never come back to the point where you started, but you don't lose information. It's a very tricky question for design, I think, but I think it's quite a challenge. But if not, you can stay with the book. That's the problem I have with many CD-ROMs. They could still well be a catalog, or I don't know, a film even. Because you can also say a film is very interactive in that sense, in the way of working with flashbacks and so on. If you think of a film like Pulp Fiction, which has this incredible network of everything is brought together at the end, and people on a sudden know each other and meet back in time, but it's in the real time and so on. It was an incredible network in this film, which was very hypermedia influenced, in my opinion. But it's still a film. And the question is, why should it be a CD-ROM? And what are the different ways of discovering information? And this is quite a hard thing to do, I think. I'm planning something which goes into this circulating metaphor, but with a PhD project on the internet, which I'm trying to set up until autumn. It will be based on a figure in literature, which has already in herself, in her biography, a change of gender and a change of time, and a person who falls asleep and wakes up in a different century and is a man and so on. I'm trying to base it on the Orlando figure of Virginia Woolf, actually. And what I want to do is, if it works, I want to set up a homepage on my side to set a starting point, and this figure moves around into different directions in the world, and I ask people, maybe even you, if you're interested, to create your own part of the figure, developing it further, linking somebody to it, attaching another role to it, and sending it off to another person who has then to deal with that. And this is also something which just spreads out in a very loose arrangement of contents, but it doesn't lose the main idea. But to come back to the CD-ROMs and the non-linear and circulating narratives, it's really down to the point that you should avoid to have and then thing on a CD-ROM, and try, like I tried to show, it didn't work, unfortunately, with the conference where you have it with pros and cons, which is very much like a conference is, and especially for the ones who haven't been there, they can make up their own discussion, and I think that's quite illustrative. How to deal with this.
La segunda pregunta que te quería hacer era acerca de del componente lúdico que tienen todas estas instalaciones interactivas. Es decir, es normal, entiendo que es normal, puesto que quizás es en el mundo de los videojuegos donde se ha generado esa interactividad primaria. Pero lo que te quería preguntar tu opinión es acerca de si no crees que este componente lúdico lo que puede llegar a realizar es una amortiguación en la percepción del mensaje y del sentido artístico de la obra. Es decir, que este componente de juego lo que haga es olvidarnos un poco de tratar de aprender ese sentido artístico que por algo se hace.
I actually understood it's like losing the perspective in the work a bit, that the interface becomes the cause of the play, becomes the cause of the work. This is a very tricky question, because it is, and I think Paul can also answer to this as well. I think it is linked to this term interactivity, what it means, that you're supposed to do something and it doesn't go very far, and you don't know, is it the artwork itself or is it the technology, who doesn't go very far, can it go further in 5 years? It's and I think it's still it's linked to what I said, that we have to think of different ways of expression and what an artist wants with that. And some things on the first glance to us seem rather, I don't want to find some negative words for this, because there's a lot of work behind all these projects and ideas and hard work, and it also comes with what that we are used to, that art has to express something. Art has to be a reflection of social things, of history. Art is for us something which was developed in a certain century according to this and that, and there's this picture of the poor artist surviving with this and so on, and it's very overloaded as well. And this technology is overloaded on the other side first. It's overloaded as marketing of a company. It's like when I started giving lectures on new media very early, and the students, especially the film students, it's like I'm Mrs. Sony, married, divorced Mrs. Toshiba, because you're always sort of representing technology companies and things like that, and it's and you're trying to talk about artwork. And I think this is now getting better, that we can actually see what an artist wants to do with that. He wants to build a reference very often to what's happening. And I see, why does an artist like Jeffrey Shaw, for instance, why do these works, I call it the borderline works, why do they stay there? That's also a question. These people can well create a cyberspace and put you inside if they want to. That's not the problem, but they want to say something with their work. I think they want to talk about the change we are surviving, and they want to give an experiment which makes us feel what's happening, and things like that. And I think that's one important. And the other importance is also what I said, that the film also started with little comedies, men falling up and down cars, bumping into each other, and the people were hiding behind the locomotive in the cinema room because they thought it's coming towards the audience. And today, after just 100 years, it's really it's a big industry, but also a very complex system. We don't want to be without anymore as an art form. And I think many things in this are still about just to start now.
I was just saying that also in early film, one of the other big driving economic forces was pornography, and this was also the development of Super 8, but also the Nickelodeons, and we see this now on the internet, and we say, why does this happen? But it seems to be the way VHS, cassette recorders also were driven by pornography very much.
Yeah. It's also like we are used to a lot of development. The pornography discussion came very fast with new media. Wow. Pornography on a CD-ROM as well, and all of a sudden it was all about this. And because we are also, we are media people, people of our age, we've grown up with media, with television. We are the virtual ones anyway already. And like Jean Baudrillard formulates it very drastic. He says we don't have reality anymore. We are living in a media surrounding and we think it's real. And so we are used to very fast developments.
Degree of fascination of the beginning of the cinema is not exactly the same now. I don't see this degree of fascination in interactive work. I think it's a little bit more artificial.
Which, the cinema or the which is artificial?
Now this everybody is forcing the new technologies as something as new and powerful as it was. The cinema in the beginning of the century, and that in the masses, I don't see this degree of fascination now as it was in the beginning of the cinema. I don't know if I'm clear.
I'm not sure either, but I mean, there was an awful lot of examples of cinema houses that were built in the 30s. Seems to be the best example of 30s architect was often its picture houses. It was a huge development, I think. I don't know, it's difficult to say. I wasn't around in the 30s, you're right, but there are very clear examples. I think that the technology of cinema was as big or as sensational as new technology. Oh really?
Yeah,
I misunderstood your question. Sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
You couldn't compare exactly the
well, I mean, it's difficult to say. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I think it's a problem. What you are referring to a problem. Many cinema people in Germany in the theoretic field have with new media as well. Sorry. Which is the artificiality of all these spaces. I'm not saying you say this, maybe I add this then. It's all the computer-generated world is not to be accepted as true, considered to be in comparison to the film image. And this discussion is still going on. Sometimes it's a very interesting discussion because many people who researched and researched the documentary effect of a film and this term of authenticity, how real is a film image, even in a documentary, and this discussion is, that's why I was referring to Rudolf Arnheim, who said it's over with reality already in the 20s. It's all constructed. It's like he wrote a lot of very good articles, how people perceive it different, the same picture and things like that. And now with the virtual world, with the sort of plasticky cyberspace worlds coming up as well, this discussion is raising again how real is an image. How is it real because a person is moving there, which looks like me? Or is it not real to have a communication in the cyberspace because it doesn't exist as a communication field?
Can I say something about Andrew's question? I think maybe the new media now doesn't have the public access that film perhaps had, whereas before it was actually brought to the masses and people flocked, but it's still quite an elitist aspect at the moment.
It's also private as well.
Yes.
Private aspect to it. I mean, you don't know how many people. I mean, if you go to a cinema, sure, you can sit in a cinema and you think, this is packed, I've got to queue up for 2 hours to go in. I mean, you get obviously it has a more of a social implication because in terms of its space and what's going on there. But certainly with the internet, it's very difficult to tell how many people are on the internet. It's one of the problems with the World Wide Web. You're just a lonely browser.
I mean, it's. I think it's also quite. It can put you down when you see all this technology involved and the people having to work in these institutes. These three names in the world mentioned: Karlsruhe, Cologne, Chicago. I don't know where a center is. You can work with, and you as an artist, you think, how can I do that? It all seems to be very complicated, and a lot of technology and a lot of money is involved. But on the other hand, I think it's still possible to walk in little steps with what you have. I mean, I'm trying this as well in my school. We have a computer animation studio, which is our department does not use that. This is really for the animators doing 3D graphics and so on, for students of animation film. But we are then trying to look for a tool and then to bring a content and a concept in it. So these works can be quite helpful. Either you want to go over what you've seen and bring some contents in it.
I think regardless of art centers or centers of art that use technology, I think technology or new technology is as present. Actually, I think it's if not more present than early cinema. I don't think it's any less so. It's somehow more invisible than cinema was. Cinema also as a medium is an invisible medium, but computer networking or computer networks, these spaces are completely invisible, and it's always very hard to assume that it's something like cinema. In that sense, it's not.
I think it's about parallels. It's not about equality. One is like the other, and you just beam it into the year 2000, and it's the same development. It's about certain parallels in finding out new aesthetics and getting a theory to it, really, as well. I mean, you have all sorts. The whole theory field is still a bit of statements. People give statements about their work, but in German it's called a canon, a canon. Which comes up, I was referring a little bit to, that you have to split it up into different fields, and it's not all virtual. It has different narrative models around it. It's about modeling in different disciplines, and this is yet not. We don't have encyclopedias on this and things. We don't have a history like the film history, and you take a book and you know, this is a black movie and that has to be made like this and this out of this component.
Can I go slightly back to the question earlier on that came up about the question of computer games, or the question that when art should become interactive, it somehow becomes fun, and by that it then somehow becomes not so serious. It's not something we can consider art as well as we could other forms. When work becomes interactive, the audience somehow enjoy it, or they laugh, and this somehow makes the work somehow unartistic. This is a question that's been raised before. People have said, well, I mean, in one of my installations, people say, well, people are having fun, they're laughing. And I often think of the problem is that many video installations, you consider earlier video artists from the 70s and 80s, you're sure the work is somehow, is still within that frame of reference, that context of the gallery, the art space. And I tend to, it's a very difficult question to actually answer. Why it shouldn't be fun? Why shouldn't you why shouldn't an audience be able to laugh at that? I mean, they also laugh at, this goes to the other way, but I think of a work by Kit Galloway and Sherry Rabonovitz, who made an installation between, I will show a video of this, called Hole in Space, between two locations in the States, where it was just two streets that were linked, and people would look at each other and wave at each other and laugh and tell jokes to each other. But it wasn't so much, I mean, the actual, it wasn't that they were looking at an artwork and laughing at the artwork, they were the actual piece. They were, their actual, without them, there is nothing. And the audience are the actual, their interaction, their exchange, that is the creative process that's going on. Yeah, sure, as things become funny, it's also a slight embarrassment about these works. It's embarrassing to experience interactive works. But you have to consider that it's no longer talking about artists or talking about artworks. You're talking about interventions and context created to make a dynamic sort of possibilities of variations on an audience. And yeah, they seem to laugh a lot more. Maybe they're having fun. I mean, that's probably a good thing, I think. if you go to a gallery and you walk around a gallery and you sort of look a bit serious and a bit pissed off, I mean, it's, why is that considered the serious side of it? Or why, and then why is it to laugh at something considered not really art?
With the Jill Scott piece, where you can have these conversations between two characters, I experienced this piece, and I spent very little time with that because every one of these conversations ended up with a little joke about their inability to communicate. And, you know, after you see four jokes of the person from the older time going, oh, is that like a refrigerator or something like this, you're like, okay, well, this artistic statement that it's difficult for people from different times to appreciate each other or from previous times could have been made in, you know, one very nice little moment. And I think also with Harry Hoberman, he has this aesthetic of the hilarious mechanism or the household product that comes to life or something like this. And I think that actually this aesthetic was very well expressed in some of his previous installations. But when he moved this to the real-time graphical moment of this barcode hotel, these references that he makes to real mechanisms around us is really lost, I think. And I think that many of those things that the barcode striping are really meaningless, and they're really gags. They're one-liners, they're jokes. And I think, again, I see this very much in the work of many kinetic artists like Alan Rapp, who will make a very interesting mechanism and have a very interesting kind of kinetic moment happening, but then he'll give it the cheesiest little gag name that you can imagine, wallflowers or something like this. So I think that there is a point that even though interactivity, I think, has a very visceral and galvanizing sense that can make people laugh and can make them feel a lot and have a lot of emotion, I think there is really a trend among many artists to kind of trivialize this with very simple humor or very simple gags.
I think this is an important point, and this leads me to the question how much personality you can unfold of your own in a virtual room, which is very important, I think. And I'm still coming back to the categories of interactivity, that some works don't only go to a certain point and that's it. And you can think it over and over again. They don't want to say more. They don't do it. It's and you have to look at other works which go beyond this and see all these different steps and hierarchies. I think, for instance, that a media moo or a mud, to bring this term in, which goes back to an old game, the multi-user dungeon, where you were throwing dice and taking over a personality, and this is now transferred into the internet as virtual playgrounds, all based on text, where people jump in online, take over a character, announce themselves, and start sort of talking to each other, describing what they're doing, arranging little rooms on a very as a playground for child on the one side, as a pirate playground, and on the other hand there is the Media Moo, which is by an artist union, where you sort of have more a room you describe as your library, and you discuss something with people or whatever. And also there you can play a frisbee together. And this, for instance, is another interactive form which is very complex, because it means you have to be creative, really. It all depends on you. If you're boring, the game is boring. And as what Paul said before, many interactive works are just empty because of the viewer, and that's the interesting thing. They're dead. Nothing moves. You have to step inside and orientate. And this is something I will come to in this other text, that what makes the difference now, that a film is going towards final affection, like it's over, the tension is gone, the problem is solved, the murderer is caught, or they're all divorced or died or whatever, and or a happy ending, and you have the relief at the end. In these new surroundings you have nothing to start with, only yourself. You have to orientate. All the affection is standing at the beginning, and it's like, what am I going to do now? And if it's quite an advanced thing, which comes to performing aspect for yourself in an exhibition or in a gallery, and other people watching yourself, what is he doing now with this? And that's a very different thing. But that's very interesting for research, I think, for behavior in media surroundings, where you can't lie back anymore and wait for the things to come. And so what it's really this framework I mentioned earlier on, the artist is only providing you something, and you have to make the best out of it. And then it's like how far it can go, really. Is it a closed system where it comes to an end very fast, or is it an open system where you can extend it as much as you want, because you're more an actor and a player than a participant? And there is this difference in perception.
I think the point that was raised about the artist that Chris cited, and more often than not, artists using media are not necessarily talking about media primarily. They're talking about other things, particularly. To a certain extent, there is. With Jill Scott's piece, Frontiers of Utopia, the piece deals with many issues, certainly around the around women's issues, but she's not primarily working with a question around media. I don't think so. If you think so, then I say so. But when I was referring to these sort of notions of laughing at a media artwork, and which somehow minimalizes its artistic merit, I think I was referring more to artworks that are dealing only really with media. The question is about media. Sometimes they're seen as kind of weak works, or they're not really. They say there is no content in this work. People laughing at something, laughing at themselves on a video screen. It's about media. It's where's the content in this work? Where's the content in a computer network? But there is content there, I think. There is a very rich content. That is the question of media. But I don't want to use media to tell jokes about, anything. About jokes about something else, about food or something, or about like my grandma or something. I want to use media to talk about media. Okay, and that's sometimes funny, because when you experience it, you're experiencing a new kind of environment, a new kind of space, and your reaction is either you have a physical reaction, and that's often to laugh, to sort of experience something. Either that's through embarrassment, of you experiencing something with your body, or discovering new senses in your body. It'll make you laugh. Maybe that's what it is. And then people look and say, well, people are laughing at it. It's not art.
hablar de hablar de con media acerca del media quizá es una cuestión para nosotros, pero va a durar muy poco tiempo. Por ejemplo, yo no creo que los niños estuvieran interesados en esa cuestión. ¿Por qué? Porque ellos van a crecer con los medios de los cuales tú estás hablando a través de medios. O sea que es una cuestión que va a durar muy poco tiempo. ¿Me explico?
Yes, I think so. For those of you who didn't get the question, it was, let me try and re-put the question back and see if I got it right. It's about the notion of we're discussing media now, making an analysis about media now, that when in the next generation to come, people of our age in 30 years' time will understand media through media. But we don't understand media, or I'm not sure if this is right, but and then in that case, do we understand media without media now? That's the question. My answer would be that we don't understand media without media. We do understand it through media already. Through the media of, for example, television, but yet through the media of the typewriter, through the media of the book, of the written word, of the spoken word. But there is no difference in terms of time when we discover a new media. It doesn't mean that we haven't come to a point where we say, now we have media. We've always had it. It's just that we have come to a point, I think, where we're starting to reflect now on what's happening. Very, I think of Marshall McLuhan a little bit in terms of now someone we're now reflecting on what implication this has on our culture. That's so. I think okay. It won't stop. Your question was it's just a kind of a interim period of time. It's not, I think. I think the assessment of media will get much, much more complex and develop much further, but we must make the kind of the start on that, to a sense. Not really a start, but sure, it'll get bigger. I mean, sorry, you want to carry on?
No, I want to add something. I think it's interesting for you because I think it's your future, our future, in a way that there is some creative output for you to begin with right from the start. That's why, I mean, I was interested in new media coming from the film discussion. I did all this discussion on reality. I found this quite fascinating in my studies and so on. I felt that there's a bit of a new field for me to research, something new. I could also sit down and write my PhD on the cinema as well, which is the book number 225 then on this or that film, and it wouldn't give me anything. But working in this field is much more, it's a small scene, it's more vital, the discussions are more like there is something to discuss, it's not something to discuss again. It's something to take into doubt. Is that good? Does that work? I show video, and the people don't like it. That's a better discussion than showing a film abstract, and the people all know it. And it's more creative, I think, and it's something we can now decide on. That like if you say I wouldn't do my an installation like Jill Scott's work because I think these women don't talk enough with each other. It ends. I press on five women and they all say the same and it's a little joke. That is the interesting point then for you because you would go over this. How would I do this different? And that's important for you as an artist, I think, then to have this in mind and vary things, take them as example because many works are still quite a pioneer work, but there's something to do. It's still a time, if you have an interesting idea and you put it on a homepage or in a network project, and the chance that somebody is interested in it now is much higher than getting your paintings to a gallery, I think, which is also very important. I'm not talking about values of art, but I'm talking about chances for young artists who still have to be 50 years working on something.
Oye, habéis estado hablando como referente hemos usado el cine, ¿eh?, para referirnos un poco a los nuevos medias, a la influencia que tuvieron, ¿no? Yo creo que se está dando una situación que tiene un referente histórico mucho más importante para mí, por ejemplo, ¿no?, que son las vanguardias artísticas. Yo creo que se está produciendo una circunstancia tanto social y que está influyendo en los artistas de forma que se crean nuevas actitudes, ¿no?, que un poco tienen ese referente histórico en las vanguardias. Hay un paralelismo muy evidente entre eso, ¿no? O sea, no solo de actitudes, sino de búsqueda de nuevos materiales, implicación, si bien ellos tenían con una sociedad muy industrial, ahora la tenemos con una sociedad muy tecnológica. Y entonces un poco esas nuevas actitudes se están dando en muchos artistas, o tú crees que más es una fascinación por la tecnología, no por el medio o por el fin.
I think that there is a lot of fascination, but I wouldn't use it sounds a bit like being fascinated and there's not much behind. I think there is a certain fascination to get into this, or I'm trying to create this in lectures. My lectures are very opponent. I'm teaching, is that the right word? I teach in a film school, in a classical film school, which is the oldest one in Germany. The people come there to become film directors. They want to win an Oscar. They don't want to do 3D graphics. It's quite a hard situation sometimes. I'm very exotic there. Like, I'm teaching new media, and so what is this? And they look at the CD-ROM filmmakers, and they say, I'm not doing this. My film is that big at the end, and so on. It's quite a heavy-going discussion sometimes. But I'm trying to really get them to work on something, and they can feel it's the same kind of work. It's not... They have a programmer at the end working it out and so on, but what they have to do first is things they know, things many projects are based on. They have to research, they have to set up a concept, they have to make up something like a storyboard, they have to involve themselves, a certain theory, they have to take pictures and maybe shoot a little video. And it all comes down to a very creative point of discussion, and the very end, if they notice they can also change their picture in the Photoshop, it's no more a disadvantage, but they know this might help at the very end. And so it's really going through them, it's like going through a certain discussion where you see a lot of work which is unsatisfying, and then you have to come to a point when what could I do in this?
I think that you have to be clear that to have a fascination in technology isn't the same as having a fascination about in paint, the same way an artist would work. It's not, technology is not like a medium like paint. I'm fascinated by paint, therefore I will paint. Or I'm fascinated by technology, therefore I make media art. It's not the same. It's not that kind of, if there is a fascination, it's not that kind of fascination. That's the first thing. It's far more of a cultural implication that is fascinating, or is the reason for working with media. It's a cultural implication of media. It's also allowing you to work in different locations, deal with different, to discover different senses in the body, to discover different ways humans interact. It's also referring to the notion of our media technology we already have. We're referring to things like language, and it's such a poignant moment to work with media that you can, I feel that you can start to make references to many, many more aspects of, I mean, to all aspects of culture and society. It's not like, oh, I really like computers. This is not the fascination or the drive. It's the fact that it's an understanding or a vision of culture and society and what's happening that is the drive in the work that keeps, that makes you want to do something or makes you want to explain something or to communicate with somebody through technology.
Una cuestión que creo que viene al caso. Me interesa la relación también con los medios audiovisuales y el cine con internet, con los nuevos medios. ¿No creéis que si bien desde el nacimiento del cine ha habido un intento por hacer un uso social del cine? En Rusia, por ejemplo, Kino Pravdas, un tercer cinema de los países subdesarrollados, cuando